Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. If you're rejoining us, my name's Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you have been listening in, it is Women's History Month, and we're doing a bit of a special episode today, which I am so thrilled to be doing. And we're talking about women in media because, you know, up until not that long ago, women in media basically didn't exist. So when we talk about women's history and women that are trailblazers, certainly women in media has to come to the top of mind when we're talking about this general topic area. I myself, of course, a media neophyte. And so I have to look to those with a little bit more experience than I, but certainly there'll be some stories to share as I have spent a goodly amount of time in my career and basically environments and in legal practice areas and as an economist, which were no-go zones for women up until a few years ago. This half hour, I'm extremely humbled and very happy to be joined with my dear colleague and friend at Civic Media, the famous, the legendary, none other than Jane Matinair, host of Matinair on Air, which you can find on this wonderful network from 10 a.m. to noon every Monday through Friday. Welcome to the show, Jane. Thank you for making time.
Oh, thanks for asking me, Maggie. I am delighted to be here.
Let's just jump right in. What got you interested, not just in media or journalism, but radio specifically? Did you major in this in college or university? When did you get bit by the radio bug?
It actually started, I remember in high school, for whatever reason, and I always wanted to be an actress. This started off with my wanting to be an actress. And I blame this, I can go way back into my childhood, if you don't mind. I'm from a large Catholic family, and we were at Mass one Sunday, as we always were, and I was about four or five, and there was a particular holiday within the Catholic Church, and there was a special service in which, at one point during the Mass, the priest says, "Let us kneel, let us stand, let us sit," and the whole congregation kneels and stands and sits as he says these things. And again, I'm very little, and I asked my mother after we went through all of that, apparently quite loudly, I said, "Why doesn't he make up his mind?" And the whole congregation burst out laughing. And I was—
Did the priest laugh too? I hope so.
I assume so. The whole congregation burst out laughing, and I was like, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I don't know what I did. All I did was ask what I thought was a perfectly reasonable question. And then I got this great response. I need more of this. I need to figure out how I did that. And so that kind of set me on the entertainment path. And then I decided I want to be an actress once I get into college. And again, my father was a mortician. So being an actress was not a real job. To my father, the mortician, being a teacher or a nurse or even a secretary, that was a real job. Something tangible. And he had said when I went off to college to be an actress, he said, you might want to have a backup plan. Mm. And so at that point, I started thinking radio, to me at that time, before the advent of cameras, where everything's everybody sees everybody now, radio to me was like theater. And that I could be anything anybody imagined me to be.
Yes.
I could do different voices. I could do different characters. I could be different things, and they couldn't see me. And so that to me, radio was just another different form of theater. And that's kind of how I ended up going into radio.
It's as you describe it, Jane, I've listened to you for a number of years. And just like when I've read books that have compelling characters, the character, the host, the radio host on air, the listener or the reader, in the case of especially fiction, you can sort of construct whatever you want. And it has this like deeply intimate personal element to it, because each person constructs the host or imagines the protagonist, in the case of fiction, differently in a way that I think in this bizarre way is incredibly egalitarian and available to people, maybe in a way that theater or even TV and movies aren't. because you can only deal with the two dimensions that you see on that screen. Here, it's only limited by someone's imagination.
Exactly. Radio is theater of the mind.
Yes.
Radio is theater of the mind, where, again, as you said, you get to fill in the gaps with your own imagination. And that was one of the things that really appealed to me and made it so much fun. I mean, it used to be a big deal to see what a disc jockey looked like.
Right.
Which it should be.
Yes. I met Gene Miller, your former colleague, maybe like 3 years ago at an American Cancer Society fundraiser. Mm-hmm. And I was like, mind blown.
Right.
Not what I thought until I heard him start talking. And I would just close my eyes and be like, oh, yeah.
That's him.
That's Gene Miller
now. Yeah, exactly.
I can conjure up my mind's eye. Jane, let's get into the meat of today, however. So you start out as a young woman in radio and broadcasting. How welcoming, and I mean this with a heavy degree of sarcasm, how welcoming was the industry to women at the time, whether they were working behind the scenes in production or as talent on air?
It's interesting that you ask that, Maggie, and I've been thinking about this a lot because colleagues here, and we share old radio stories. You know, back, I remember, I started in radio. I got my first job in 1981. I was 21 years old. And in my class at broadcasting school, out of the 25 of us in the class, 4 of us were women. Because at that point, it was very rare to hear a woman's voice on the radio. If you did hear a woman, she was the rock chick from 7 to midnight. That was the place where they got put. And that was originally what I wanted to be. I wanted to be the cool rock chick. Tragically, I was and am still not cool or a rock chick. So
I had you both, Jane. Cool, not a word that's like, used to describe me too often either.
Yeah, I tried it. Nah, but my general manager, when I started here in Milwaukee, heard me on the overnight shift after about 6 months and said, she's more than a laugh track. I want to put her in the morning. And so I got moved to mornings, and that's where I spent the vast majority of my career when I was in music radio. And then even later when I moved over into to AM radio and got into news and things like that. But it was a much different world. And a lot of times when I hear some of my friends telling old radio stories, and I had this revelation not that long ago, one of the reasons why I don't share mine is because so many of my stories are bad.
Yes.
I'm sorry, well, but it's true. That was my experience.
I'm sure we will have some story swapping here. I think being very candid and honest about some of the bad stories and the events as they occurred, the environments as they have been, what has changed, what has improved, what is still a problem is incredibly important because in my mind, if it's a problem for a woman, it's a problem for the overall business. And it actually, those hostilities or sometimes the lack of welcoming or the lack of openness of an organization or a media company is also making it that way for men. In different ways, right? But the toxicity in any and all of its forms is bad for everybody.
Everybody. Yes.
Folks, if you're just joining us, this is my colleague, Jane Matinair. She hosts the fabulous program from 10 to noon every day, Matinair on Air, with her great sidekick, Greg Bach, who is fabulous. We're talking about women in media. So let's talk about one of those stories, Jane. We've got about 5 or so minutes, so you've got plenty of time to give us the full Monty, if you will.
Sure. I will eventually. I'm hoping to one day write a book about this. I just need a couple of people to die first. So I can't mention some names, but I can tell you about what happened. I was about 30 years old, and I had just broken up with my boyfriend. And my general manager, where I was working at that time, knew about this. I believe I had talked about it on the air or something. And he said, let me take you out to dinner. You know, I know you're going through a rough time and, you know, just let me take you out to dinner and we'll have a nice dinner and that'll be great. I thought, how nice. That isn't that lovely. He's married and, you know, I'm newly single, but we meet at a restaurant about a mile away from where I was living. And I swear to God, I had not even taken a sip yet from my drink when this man sitting across from me, my married boss, says to me, Jane, I know how much you appreciate forthrightness. So I just want to tell you, I'm really attracted to you and I want to know how you feel about me.
Ugh.
Which at one, I'm trying not to do a spit take because that literally yes. is not what I was expecting. And now it's like, how do I get out of this? How
right.
do I get out of this? So my go-to is always humor.
Yep.
That's kind of my defense mechanism in almost every situation, unless I'm faced with like a bear. But so
bear is not such great senses of humor.
That's probably not going to work so well. So I'm like, you know, if we do this, other people are going to find out. How is that going to work at work? And he's, oh, it's going to be fine. You know, nobody else is going to know about this. I said, but I'm going to know about this. And what makes you think? I said, I'm not going to ask for special favors from you. So this is a joke I still tell to this day about, Jane, what do you want? What do you want, you know, at this company? Yes. What can we do for you? And I always say, all I need is a limo and a fruit plate. And that's,
I love this line, and limo and a fruit plate.
And that is what I told this man. I said, if we start an affair, I want a limo and a fruit plate every day. Whacka, whacka, whacka. Ha, 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 ha.
I call this response that we sometimes do, and pardon me for the crudeness of it, is when I put on my tap shoes, right, and my jaunty cap.
Yes.
And like give them a little song and dance routine to distract
yes.
from the awkward, you have completely blown past any conceivable boss, subordinate, workplace appropriate discussion. And yet what I hear from people frequently, Jane, and I should be clearer here, men, usually older men, is, well, listen, lots of people meet their spouses in the workplace. I have a response to this. I'd like you to have a shot at responding to this horse pucky, little editorial there.
I'll wrap the bow around it with this. I don't remember how I got out of that situation. All I know is that he did not come home to my apartment with me that night.
Yes.
And when I went into work the next day, I went to our head of human resources.
You did.
A friend of mine, a woman, and I told her what had happened the night before. And her response was, oh my gosh, we've been having an affair for the last couple of months.
Oh, get around, guy. Wow, I wonder how many times he laid that line on women that worked for him or with him. Shocking.
I went to HR for some kind of resolution, and she admits to me that she is already sleeping with him. And she's like, well, I can't do anything with this. I can't take it up the
Because
the corporate...
you're sleeping with
because,
it. Like,
yes.
Who, dear human resources professionals, most of you are quite excellent. But there are a few of you who are terrible, and your terribleness has a trickle-down terribleness impact. Like when you compromise your own judgment, and frankly, this is a lot like lawyers in big organizations and the lawyer client, like there was, you can't have your judgment compromised in any way, shape, or form like that, because no client, no employee coming to you in human resources is going to feel confident in your ability to fairly and objectively address what is, by any current measure, not a good thing in the workplace. Folks, yeah, go ahead, Jane, please.
I will tell you what I was told when I suggested I was going to bring a lawsuit. We'll wrap that up on the other side.
What was Jane told when she said she might bring a lawsuit after being propositioned by her boss a few years back in radio? We continue this discussion of women in the media with my colleague and friend Jane Matinair, host of Matinair on Air, 10 to noon every Monday through Friday. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Happy Women's History Month, everybody.